Good morning and welcome, everyone, to Live Dharma Sunday for December 9th, 2012. Koyo Kubota here. Glad you joined us on this kind of dark day. These are time of the season when the days are getting darker and a little gloomier, cloudier. And that made me wonder, you know, when we take an airplane trip and we go above the clouds, we see the bright sun shining, and then we realize that the sun is always shining. There's a clear blue sky, even when there are a lot of clouds. But we can't see that when there are a lot of clouds because, obviously, we're underneath the clouds. But when you take an airplane above, and you rise above the cloud layer, you see, oh, yeah, the sun is always shining, you know. And then it seems like, well, one obvious teaching that one could interpret is that in order to realize that there is a blue sky above the clouds, you need to get a little more altitude in your attitude. And this is one way of a lesson of saying that, well, okay, you get out of bed and it's all gray and gloomy, and everybody likes the blue skies, sunny day. Huh? And although one lesson might be, well, I can have a sunny day in my attitude, even if the day is gray, I recall when we used to go to the dog beach in Evanston early in the morning, and there was another lady that used to come, and sometimes we'd see each other, and she was a member of the Midwest Buddhist Temple, and she was always very cheerful. She carried her blue sky with her, I guess, because one day it was really gray and cloudy. And, of course, on the beach you see the horizon and the sky. And she came down the beach and she said, "Look at that gray sky. Look at all those different shades of gray." She was appreciating the different shades of gray. Not trying to transcend, go beyond the gloomy gray skies, and there's a blue sky, the sun's always shining, and, you know, we need to get above these grayness. The grayness itself, she was embracing sincerely as, oh, look, appreciate the beauty of the different shades of gray. So that was really a good lesson, great lesson, you know. Every day is a good day. Well, well, well. Today we're very privileged to have as our guest to give us a Dharma glimpse, Wendy Chignot of New York. She was part of our LM2 group. She's the current president of the Trailblazers. And the Trailblazers is the organization that consists of all the Bright Dawn lay ministers. So, Wendy Chignot, Sensei.
Good morning. Thank you, Reverend Koyo. Good morning, everybody. I think as everybody knows, my phone kind of went dead. Does everybody hear me?
I think you're good.
Okay, good. Yesterday, as everybody knows, was Bodhi Day, the day we celebrate Shakyamuni's enlightenment. So happy Bodhi Day. And happy month of enlightenment, and happy season celebrating the return of light to the Northern Hemisphere, the rebirth of the sun. As Reverend Coyle was talking about, it is a time to think about things this time of year, in the cloudiness, the lack of light. But, you know, I love this time of year. Despite the, people would say crass commercialism and all the things that happen in the holiday season that maybe illustrate more clearly the poisons of our human nature. To me, there's a lot of light shining. And like Reverend Coyle said, maybe it's partly gray, but I appreciate this time of year. One of the reasons I appreciate it is that the long nights of December are marked by numerous celebrations using light as a symbol. They're nature-based, polytheistic, pagan, Christian, Jew, and Buddhist spiritual and religious groups all use light as a symbol in their observances at this time of year. In our culture, obviously the most prevailing observance is the Christian December 25th celebration of the birth of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, which, interestingly enough, like Shakyamuni's enlightenment, was announced by the light of a star. Also on December 25th, there's an ancient celebration of the virgin birth of the Iranian Zoroastrian god Mithras, which some of you may be aware of, some not, but it's known as the birthday of the unconquered sun. And that continued on as a Roman celebration of the sun god. Now, some theorize that that was influential on December 25th being set by the Roman Catholic Church as the date celebrating Jesus' birth. It does seem interesting that all of these are connected in that way. There's also the Jewish Festival of Lights, Hanukkah. It's also this time of year, and in this particular year, 2012, it also begins on December 8th. In Hanukkah, candles are lit each day before sundown for the 8 days of Hanukkah that symbolize the illumination of the house without. This is to remind people outside as they pass by your house of the possibilities and hope and rededication, which are the symbols of the miracle of the holiday of Hanukkah. Kwanzaa, also at this time of year, has 7 candles observing 7 principles relating to building community. And these serve as both an external marking of the inherent strengths of the African culture and community, but it's also an internal reminder to those who celebrate it and to those who talk about it to others, motivating the practice of 7 values. And of those 7 values, we also have hope, faith, service, and harmony to share with the community and the broader world. So this time of the year is magical to me because one of the things I have always noticed is how wonderful that so many of us celebrate light. As Buddhists, we celebrate the light of awakening. Now, I never celebrated Christmas as the birth of Christ, but celebrated the season as one of grace and giving and being thankful for family and friends. But of all things celebrated in the season, it was celebrating light that had the strongest hold on me. And as such, I think I've got sad disease or something, because typically, right around Thanksgiving time in November, I string lights like a madwoman inside and outside of the house, trying to chase away the dark, I guess, but also maybe it's an inner symbol to me, a symbol to reconfirm my hope. And despite being a practicing Buddhist for many, many years, in the past, I never gave more than a brief thought to Bodhi Day. I noted it, but did not think to mark it in any special way. This year, though, I've reflected more deeply on its significance in my life and the way it can serve as a spiritual practice for both Buddhists and maybe non-Buddhists alike. Reverend Coyle has frequently talked to us in the lay ministry program and those who have graduated or were inducted as lay ministers about how we can look to American holidays and sort of, you know, harness ourselves to them to celebrate the Dharma and practice of everyday Buddhism. So, and really, when you think about it, Buddhism itself is the perfect model of how that works, because as it shifted and evolved, it fit every culture it migrated to, it adopted those native cultural practices and attitudes and incorporated them in the part and practice of Dharma in that culture or country. So thinking about this sort of Buddhist shape-shifting, Bodhi Day seems like the perfect Buddhist holiday to popularize and connect to the American or Western holiday season. Since so many cultures and religions use light as symbols of reflection or remembering or rekindling a spiritual impulse or motivating action towards community or personal spiritual goals, it's as if the use of light in all these spiritual groups and religions is symptomatic of a deep, intrinsic part of our human nature, or maybe an overall archetypal impulse toward awakening, toward enlightenment. For me, this time of light is a celebration of not just Bodhi Day and not just the historical Buddha's enlightenment, but a celebration of the gift of the Dharma, of my refuge in the Dharma, and the power beyond me, but of me, my inherent Buddha nature. It's a time for me to celebrate my refuge in the Buddha nature that Shakyamuni awakened to. There's a story somewhere, and I can't remember exactly where, but it said that the Zen master Dogen said, although we refer to Shakyamuni reaching or attaining enlightenment and the Dharma, it is more accurate to say that Shakyamuni was attained by the Dharma. I find that as a symbol of grace, because Shakyamuni's enlightenment reaffirms my refuge or my faith, because according to the legend of his awakening or being attained or by the Dharma, on the morning of his awakening, he saw the morning star and he said, "How marvelous! I, the great earth, and all beings are naturally and simultaneously awakened." Wonderful. So as the Shakyamuni was awakened by the Dharma, or the spirit of Buddha nature, he proclaimed that the great earth and all beings are also awakened. So our awakening is certain. We will be captured by the Dharma. We will be awakened because it is contained in our inherent Buddha nature. But what are we awakening to? We are awakening to the call of the spirit of our own Buddha nature. That call is in the light that is forever and every place shining on us, like Reverend Coyo said. It's always shining whether we see it or not, lighting our path with wisdom and embracing us in compassion. Now, in Shin and Pure Land Buddhism, Amida or Amitabha means essentially, the name means light without bounds or infinite light. In the larger Pure Land Sutra, it is written that there is no place that is not illuminated by the light emanating from Amida Buddha. It also says that when sentient beings encounter that light, their defilements are removed and they feel tenderness, joy, and pleasure, and good thoughts arise. Now, doesn't that sound like words describing the season? They could be in a Christmas card. Now, we didn't do anything to cause that light to shine. We do not have to work to encounter it. It is a light constantly and continuously shining on us, and unlike the sun or moon or the lights I string, it cannot be blocked by clouds or lack of electricity. It is a grace given to us, unearned. In our everyday lives, we can feel this light here with us now. It's not just happening to Shakyamuni, it's happening now. And in the celebration of Christmas, we aren't celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago on December 25th. We're celebrating the birth of Christ, the birth of the Christ Spirit in our hearts today and every day. This light is the wisdom of the Dharma, the wisdom that recognizes that all things are perfect. All things are full of meaning. All things are suchness. Haneda Sensei writes in the Dharma Breeze, When light comes into a dust-filled room, even the dust starts to shine. So on this Bodhi Day, let us gassho to all our teachers, Shakyamuni, and all the Buddhist masters and teachers, up to the teachers in our present lives, including Reverend Koyo and his father, Reverend Gyome Kobose, and their teachers before them, and the teachers that are around us every day in our family, neighbors, co-workers, pets, and the shining dust. They all share and reflect the grace of Amida's light, the wisdom light of the Dharma that grasped Shakyamuni, the absolute ultimate Buddha nature that is in each of us. Happy Bodhi Day, happy season of light. Namo Amida Butsu. Thank you.
Now, thank you very much. Oh, boy, that's a... a lot of things, a lot of teachings there, and a lot of nuggets, I guess you would say, in our lay program. We always look for, receive a lot of nuggets. If we have the gemologist's eye to see a lot of bits of rubble become gold. The season, indeed, I think we receive the gift of the Dharma. That's wonderful. And the Dharma attains us, you know. We don't attain the Dharma. And one of the things that the way that the Dharma works in mysterious ways, we could say, as a shining light, as a light that's the spirit of the inherent Buddha nature within us, if we express it this way, that light is the time it shines the most brightly is when it's darkest all around. Now, isn't that true? Even in the physical sense, this is where we're using the metaphor of a dark time, when it's dark out, that's when we see all the stars, you see. The darker the night, the more stars can be seen. This is perhaps the opposite of when sunlight comes into a room. Now you can see all the dust sparkling. And it's the metaphor for dark times in our life, existential darkness. In one of the calendars, you know, with the daily sayings, Buddhist calendars, there was a saying that said, in a dark time, the eye opens. I really like that. Because physiologically, our the pupil of our eye has to dilate when you go from a bright to a dark. You know this, when you go into a dark theater or something, you stand there for a while because you can't see anything until your eye dark adapts, and then you can walk down the aisle and go find a seat and so forth. In the dark time, the eye opens. Yes, indeed. So when we get sick, then we really appreciate, oh, well, no, gee, when I was healthy, I took it for granted. Gee, I'm not going to live forever. Wow, this food tastes good. I can breathe. Ooh, breathe that fresh air in. I'm alive now. Or it said that death is the mother of beauty. If the flowers were plastic and always there on the table, after a while we would just pass them by. But if they're fresh flowers, well, we really look at them because in a few days they're going to be wilted. I want to, as I listened to the Dharma talk, you know, it's interesting where every week for Live Dharma Sunday, sometimes I want to know what to talk about, you know, maybe Saturday night or even Sunday morning before the show. But I don't know. Maybe it's not quite so pushing me for preparation because I'm not in front of a live audience or people right in front of me. But even then, I remember there was a Dharma colleague. We were just sitting around and at a conference, and moderator was talking about something, and this person was the guest speaker. And I said, well, we're talking about giving Dharma talks. And he said, when at his home temple, you know, at home, not when you're invited out, but every Sunday, the resident minister, you know, talks to his own congregation. So it's a little more informal, relaxed. But he says sometimes what he does is he doesn't prepare Sunday sermon. And that when the chairman says, okay, we'll have the Dharma talk, he gets up and he walks toward the pulpit. And he likes that rush. I never heard this before. He says, what am I going to talk about? He didn't prepare a thing. He gets up and he goes to the pulpit. I thought that was kind of interesting. And so I think of that sometimes when I think about Live Dharma Sunday and say, well, what am I going to talk about this morning? Well, I'm do like Reverend Matsumoto does. I'm just going to wait for the rush. Well, I have an advantage because I hear a Dharma talk, a Dharma glimpse before my talk, and I just listen. And I let the Dharma take over. And what comes out of all my, you know, experiences, I guess. And that's all. I don't have to worry. But as when Eugenio Sensei was talking about light as a theme, I said, I just opened my mind and I thought of an experience I want to share with you. A few years ago, we were on a family trip and we were driving in California from the south to the north, and we went past Death Valley and I think it's Highway 395, and we visited Manzanar, which was one of the internment camps that Japanese Americans were interned in. There was about a dozen camps during World War II, you know, in the spring of 1942, about 110,000 Japanese Americans, many of them U.S. citizens, were forcibly interned. And Manzanar, near Death Valley, because all the camps were in desolate areas. The government built barracks, and they had barbed wire around it with guards, and they lived 3-4 years there, not knowing what's going on, what's going to happen. They were incarcerated for the duration of the war. And for young people, I think, for really young people, it was a time of vacation. They all were playing, they organized baseball games and so forth. There was a mess hall, of course. But for the young adults, young families, I think it was a pretty stressful time of just the uncertainty. Okay, what's going on? They had to order things through catalogs. Well, I don't want to talk too much about the camp life. You call it camp, okay? Like in concentration, not like Katabao, not as bad as a concentration camp, but Now, a lot of these sites are being restored as historical places. And this was the first site that I had ever visited in person. And as I stood there and looked at the desolate area and the mountains in the background, and I put myself in the place of a young adult looking around and, you know, what did they feel at moments where they looked around? Now, on Highway 395, I believe, this camp, Manzanar, was located between two small towns, and I remember their names. One was Lone Pine, and the other one down the road was, you know, I don't know, 5-10 miles, Independence. And I thought that was kind of interesting, the names of these towns. Lone Pine, like a person that's standing there looking around at this site. Hey, this is our home now for a while. Like a Lone Pine, that kind of a feeling. And just down the road there is a place called Independence, which had been taken away from these people. So this was my mood, I guess. I'm saying this as my mood. Because during this time, I often got up and watched the sunrise. The bright dawn. You know, there's a good analogy for the morning star coming or enlightenment. And, of course, my name, Dharma name, is Koyo, to face the sun. And so, as usual, I got up the next morning to go see the sunrise. And there's a lot of mountains, and the sun starts to come up over the mountains on the east. And I started running down this kind of like a road, I guess. There's nothing around. So I was running toward the dawn, the sunrise. And I thought of, no, that's appropriate, my name. Okay. And I don't know why, but maybe because of this Manzanar and everything. But I was kind of moved by I was kind of emotional, I guess. And I'm running, and tears are coming down my face. I'm running toward the sun. And the sun comes up, and it's so bright. But when it's a sunrise, you could look right at the sun. Not that bright where you can't look directly at it. And I looked at that and I said, you know, I want to remember this moment. We see a lot of sunrises, but each one is it. And I looked at that bright sun, rising sun there, and the sun was pulling me as I ran toward the sunrise, the dawn. And I remember that brightness there. And I guess the sun is the ultimate fire. Right? And after that, I said, every time I lit a candle on my altar, lighting a candle is a pretty routine ritual most of the time. I light a candle. Okay. But because of this experience, when I light a candle, I look at that flame, into the heart of that flame, and I see the sun. I see the light in my heart. I see the light of the Dharma. And lighting candles was changed forever for me because of that morning run at that time. And I look right in, I look right into the heart of the flame, and I see a brightness of the sun. Okay, in that tiny flame. So I very mindfully light a candle, sort of the spark of the sun. That's all for today's broadcast. Till next time, you keep going, and you have a very beautiful, bright dawn day. Thank you.